If you have your Bibles with you, open them
with
me to
the
book of John, chapter 4.
Ouvrez-les avec moi au livre de Jean, chapitre 4.
John, chapter 4. Let's pray as we turn to God's Word together.
Prions avant d'entrer dans la parole ensemble.
Father, thank you for the sense of your presence here.
Merci pour ta présence ici. Nous sentons ta présence. On a prié il y a quelques instants pour Love God Greatly.
The word among
et le ministère
women around
de la parole auprès des femmes dans le monde entier.
Et
on a prié à ce sujet parce qu'on sait que ta parole est puissante.
And we pray now that your
on prie
word
maintenant
would be powerful
ton,
here
que ta parole soit puissante ici, dans cet endroit.
Lord, that as we look at your
Seigneur,
word together,
alors que nous regardons ta parole ensemble, parle-nous par ton Esprit Saint.
Lord, every time I stand up here and
chaque fois que je me tiens ici devant
and consider the number and the variety of people
et que je considère le nombre de personnes et la variété de personnes qui sont là ce matin,
I realize
je réalise
that the ability to communicate
que la
your word
capacité à communiquer ta parole va bien au-delà de mes capacités. C'est quelque chose que toi, tu dois faire par ton Esprit Saint. Et alors on prie pour que ton Esprit Saint vienne au milieu de nous et pour qu'il parle à chaque individu ici, indépendamment de là où la personne vient ou de leur relation avec toi, mais que ton Esprit Saint leur parle à eux, chacun, par ta parole. Dans le nom de Jésus. Amen.
We are in the book of John, chapter 4,
talking
about
a
conversation that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman. We started to look at this passage last week, and I'm going to read it for you, the passage that we looked at last week. It starts with verse 1. It says this.
Now
when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour, about noon. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." And Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I will not be thirsty and have to come here to draw your water. Or to draw water." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." And the woman answered him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true."
Tu as dit la vérité.
And the woman said to him,
Seigneur, lui dit la femme,
"Sir, I perceive
je vois que tu es un prophète."
Now, This is the section of scripture that we really dug into
last week.
We're
going to
dig into the next section in more detail this week. Verse 19, the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know.
Vous adorez ce que
we
vous
worship
pas.
What we know, for salvation is from the Jews.
Car le salut vient des
but the hour is coming and is now here,
et elle est déjà là.
When the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking
effet,
such people to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. He was called Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And technology is not being kind this morning.
N'est pas sympathique avec moi ce matin.
Voilà. Jesus said, or the woman said, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is where people ought to worship. We started to look at this last week. We talked about the conflict that existed between the Jews and the Samaritans. And we looked at this map, which is of the place today, where this conversation took place almost 2,000 years ago. Down here is the place where Jacob's well is actually located. There's a church there now, but Jacob's well still exists at that spot. It's about 40 meters deep. And up here is a mountain where the Samaritans thought you should worship.
Que c'était l'endroit
part
où il fallait
of what happened
Dieu.
In history, just to explain what happened, was the people of Israel lived in the promised land. Jacob had built a well here. This was a place where Abraham had called on God. It was a place that was very special to the Jewish people.
But
over the centuries, they had moved away from God. God was upset with them. So in the 8th century B.C., the Assyrians invaded and took control of the northern part of the kingdom. And they took most of the Jewish people who lived in the north, who lived in this area, back to Assyria. So anybody who was educated, anybody who had any influence, anybody with any real skills was taken back to Assyria. There were still some Jewish people who were left there, but not very many. And the Assyrians then brought in a bunch of outsiders from a variety of countries to come and live in this area to work the land and to be there. These people intermarried with the remaining Jews, and a Jewish priest came and taught them about God.
Okay?
And you can read about that in 2 Kings chapter 17.
Now,
they mixed it with some of their own religious beliefs. So they worshipped God because God was the God of the land in Israel, but they might also worship their gods from whatever country they came from. It was kind of a mixture. Centuries later, the Babylonians came and invaded the south, and took the Jewish people to Babylon,
ils ont,
destroyed the temple.
Ils sont venus dans le sud, ils ont pris les Juifs à Babylone, ils ont détruit le temple.
Going to be rebuilt. The Jews were going to come back to the land.
Reconstruire le temple, les Juifs vont revenir pour reconstruire le temple de Jérusalem.
And in Ezra chapter 4, we read that these people, these Samaritans, these people living in this area known as Samaria, said to the Jewish people who had come back to rebuild the temple, hey,
reconstruire le temple.
We're Jewish too.
Nous aussi, on est juifs.
Let us help you.
Est-ce qu'on peut vous aider?
And the Jewish people said,
et les Juifs ont dit,
no.
Non.
You don't belong to us.
Non, non,
you're
vous appartenez
a mixed
pas à notre
blood.
Vous êtes
you worship other gods too. We will not accept
vous louez
your
d'autres
help.
Dieux. Et on n'acceptera pas votre aide.
Well, it doesn't make for very good neighbors.
Donc c'est pas vraiment fait okay. pour aider le bon voisinage.
And
les
the Samaritans went back to Samaria, just north of Jerusalem there, and said, you know what?
Ils ont dit, vous savez quoi?
God said you were supposed to worship in the place that he picked out, and he picked out our mountain.
On devait le louer à l'endroit que lui avait choisi.
And they said, you know, we really need to pay attention to the first five books of the Bible only. Anything that comes after the book of Deuteronomy, is an addition we shouldn't pay attention to. Not only that, we're going to change one of the Ten Commandments a little bit. We're going to add to the commandments. And because we believe that God commanded that you're only supposed to worship here on this mountain. Okay, so you have a great bit of animosity between these two places. Not only that, Samaria is here. You have Galilee up here in the north, Jerusalem down here in the south, and you have a bunch of Jewish pilgrims going all the time through Samaria, walking past this mountain on their way to Jerusalem. There's a lot of friction that takes place. It's one of the reasons why the Samaritan woman is surprised that Jesus, a Jew, is asking her something, even talking to her. They tried to avoid one another. Where are we supposed to worship? Jesus, you're a prophet. Where are we supposed to worship? Tell me.
Dis-moi où est-ce qu'on doit aller adorer Dieu.
And Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. And he begins to teach this woman who's been married five times and is now shacking up with a guy. He begins to teach her and us about worship, about what true worship is really all about. And he sidesteps the whole argument. He says, there's coming a day when you're not going to worship on that mountain or in Jerusalem. There's coming a different day. And he begins to say that in that day, the place where you worship will be unimportant. It won't make a difference whether you go to Jerusalem or here on the mountain outside Jacob's well. It won't make a difference. Place doesn't make a difference.
N'apporte rien.
We have a tendency as human beings to build places of worship. It doesn't make any difference what religion you're talking about. We have a tendency to build places of worship. Is Jesus against that? Does Jesus say, no, I don't want you to build any places of worship? I don't think so. I don't think so. Because he says that we are to meet together, that we are to gather together to pray. In the early church, they gathered together to worship. They gathered together for the reading of Scripture. They gathered together to be taught the Word. And meeting together is important, and you need a place to do that. And sometimes it makes sense to build a place so that can happen. And I don't think Jesus is opposed to that, but there is a very real danger.
Mais ça peut être un vrai danger.
And it's a danger that applies to every single one of us here in this room. And that danger is that there is a false equation that says, if I show up at a particular place, I have worshipped. That's not true.
Mais c'est pas vrai. C'est pas parce qu'on va à l'église qu'on adore Dieu.
True. Showing up at a particular place does not mean that you have worshipped God.
Que vous avez adoré Dieu.
What it means is,
ce que ça veut dire,
you've showed up at a particular place.
C'est que vous êtes venu à un endroit.
That's all it means.
Tout ce que ça veut dire. Vous êtes venu.
Okay. You might have showed up at a place where people frequently meet together for worship, but that doesn't mean that you have worshipped.
Adorer Dieu, mais ça ne veut pas dire que vous avez adoré Dieu.
True worship can take place anywhere.
La véritable adoration anywhere. Peut avoir lieu n'importe où.
Anywhere. It's not about going to a place.
Il n'est pas question d'aller dans un endroit particulier pour le faire. C'est quelque chose d'autre.
Jesus said,
Jésus a dit,
and this is important, and we sometimes don't catch this.
On ne comprend pas.
He said, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. We don't realize this because we're used to reading the New Testament, but Jesus says something amazing to her when he says, you will worship the Father. One of the things that I noticed in my study this week was if you take a look at the first five books of the Bible, which are the ones that the Samaritans held to be true, the term father is used 201 times.
Est utilisé 201
it almost
fois.
Always refers to
a
person's father.
Au père d'une personne.
So-and-so's father did this. So-and-so's
le père
father
d'un
did
a
this.
Fait ça. Le
so-and-so
père
was
a fait
the father of so-and-so.
Donc,
that type of
père de
father
tel
things.
Tel.
Only a few times, 15 times, does it refer to God. And then
donc,
it is
père,
the God of your father.
À Dieu. Et là,
the God of your father Abraham said...
Le Dieu de votre père Abraham a dit,
okay, so still that is the human thing, the God of your human father.
Cette relation humaine. Donc c'est
only
Dieu de vos
once,
pères.
Il n'y a qu'une only seule fois once does it refer to God as the Father.
En tant que père.
Only once in the first five books of the Bible. And in that spot, it simply says that God is the Father of the people, for he was their creator.
Des gens
so
parce
it's
qu'il,
like
parce qu'il les a
God is like your father because you came from him.
Vous venez de lui.
When Jesus says that you are going to worship the Father, there is in that an invitation to something. To something that would have been completely foreign to her and her understanding. And that was, he was inviting her into a relationship with God that would be characterized by God being her father, her protector, her faithful one, her creator, her person who is going to be responsible for her. He was inviting her into a relationship.
That's
important for us to see. So the first thing he teaches her about worship is that it has to do with relationship. Not attending to the place, but you're going to worship the Father. You're going to worship the Father.
Permet d'entrer dans l'adoration.
Then he goes on and says, you worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews.
Ce que vous ne connaissez pas. Nous, nous adorons ce
but
que
the
nous
hour
connaissons,
is coming.
Car le salut vient des Juifs.
And is now here.
Et elle est déjà là.
When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit.
En effet, ce sont là les adorateurs que recherche le Père. Dieu est esprit, et il faut que ceux qui l'adorent l'adorent en esprit et en vérité.
Donc
il prend position. Oui, les Juifs ont raison.
Les Juifs ont raison.
Et donc oui, le salut vient des Juifs.
Don't get fixated on this because the time is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For God is seeking such people to worship Him. What is He saying here? First of all, notice that God is seeking worshippers. God is seeking people to worship him. Now, it would be pretty arrogant of me
donc, ce serait vraiment arrogant de ma part
to say
de dire,
to you,
de vous dire,
you know what I really want? You know what I really want,
Dan?
I want you to worship me.
Tu m'adores.
That'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Ce serait ridicule, n'est-ce pas?
Completely ridiculous. Because I'm not worthy
parce que je ne suis pas digne d'être adoré.
It's wrong for me
c'est mauvais pour moi
to seek people
de chercher des personnes
to worship me
because
I'm not worthy of being worshipped.
D'être adoré.
God, however,
Dieu, par contre,
is completely
il est worthy digne.
Of
il est
being
parfaitement
worshipped.
Digne d'être adoré.
And because he is worthy of being worshipped, it is completely right for him to say, worship me. Not only that, he created you to be most fully satisfied when you worship him. That's what you were created for. You were created as a worshiper.
Vous avez été créé pour être des adorateurs. La question est,
what is it that you're worshiping?
Qu'est-ce que vous adorez?
God says, worship me.
Dieu dit, adorez-moi.
I'm seeking worshipers.
Je recherche
and
des adorateurs.
The true worshipers will worship
des vrais adorateurs,
in spirit and in truth.
En
what
esprit
does
et
that
vérité.
Mean? First of all, we're going to take a look at the word spirit.
On va regarder
in the Greek, we don't know if it is capitalized or not capitalized. That's a translator's decision.
Est-ce qu'il y avait une,
same word
une,
can mean just
ou pas.
Our human spirit, it can
ça,
mean the Holy Spirit. What, so there's a decision to be made there in terms of our understanding. One thing it does not mean,
une des choses que ça ne signifie pas.
In English, anglais, sometimes we use the word spirit
anglais, parfois, to mean esprit pour signifier
how do I put it?
Comment est-ce que je vais l'expliquer?
A very loose association with something. It is not according to the letter, but according to the spirit. We mean, well, you didn't do it right according to the book, but kind of in general, you got it right.
That's close enough.
That's not what it means here.
He means something specific here.
To worship in spirit
adorer en esprit,
is
c'est
to adore and joyfully
et se
submit to God
avec joie
in a way that is
Dieu,
directed
de manière,
and energized
enfin, d'une manière
by the Holy Spirit.
Dirigée et impulsée.
The question of should this be a capital S spirit worship by spirit or a small S
sous-entendu l'esprit
referring to our human spirit disappears when you realize that God or that Jesus said in John chapter 3 that which is born of spirit
chapitre 3, il parle de ceux qui sont nés de l'esprit avec un E majuscule.
So the Holy Spirit
engages
our spirit with the result that we adore
avec le résultat que nous adorons Dieu.
Think about some of the worship songs that we sang and the writers of those songs trying to put language to this idea of how great and awesome God is. They're trying to lead us in the adoration of who He is. And with that adoration comes a joyful submission to Him. Lord, I will do whatever you want me to do because I know that you love me and you will always lead me in the best way possible. Even if it means suffering, I will joyfully obey you. I will joyfully submit to you because submitting to you is the way that I receive the most satisfaction because it's what I was built for. This is something that is only available to the person who has been born again by the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, Paul writes about the fact that we have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, and by that Spirit we cry, Abba, Father! I'm worshiping the Father because of the Holy Spirit that I have received. In Ephesians 2:18, it says, through Christ we have access in one Spirit to the Father. So to worship in spirit is to be energized and directed by the Holy Spirit in the joyful adoration and submission to God. Now,
nous avons accès auprès du Père par le même esprit.
We probably have 20 to 30 different nationalities here this morning.
Donc ce matin, on a peut-être 20 ou 30 nationalités différentes.
And we come from different places, different backgrounds.
On a des chemins différents.
And we need to understand that this adoration and joyful submission can express itself differently in different cultures. When I was in university, I was part of a traveling ministry team that traveled around the Midwest of the United States. And we ministered in many, 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 many different churches. And many of the churches that we ministered in were dead, spiritually dead.
Elle était spirituellement morte.
And the people sat there
les personnes étaient assises là, les bras croisés, comme ça.
Everybody. You could tell the funniest story you'd ever heard in your life. And they just,
meilleure histoire que vous aviez.
Statues.
Personne n'aurait ri. C'était
but sometimes we would come into a church that was really, really, really alive.
Vraiment, vraiment, vraiment vivante.
And in those churches,
dans ces églises-là,
the people sat there like this.
Les gens
they had a smile on their face.
Avec un sourire au visage.
That was the only difference. That was the only difference.
C'était la seule différence entre les deux.
You started talking to them and you realized these people are madly in love with Jesus.
But
their background, their culture was very, very subdued. You know, these were the type of people that were so in love with their wives, they almost told them.
Ah oui, qui étaient vraiment réservés. C'était des personnes qui étaient tellement amoureux de leur femme. Par exemple, les hommes étaient tellement amoureux de leur femme qu'ils étaient presque sur le point de leur dire.
But in those churches, the adoration of Jesus was intense. And the joyful submission, it was just in the atmosphere.
You could just feel it.
And then sometimes you see churches that the adoration is exuberant. And some of that is cultural.
Ça peut aussi être en partie culturel.
Sit by Vanessa sometime in worship.
À côté de Vanessa,
she's got her arms going and
et adoré,
she's like, wow!
Les bras et,
what is it with these people?
You know, we should all be dancing.
Because that's her culture.
Parce que c'est sa culture.
Okay? It's possible,
c'est possible
to dance
de danser
and get all excited
et d'être vraiment très excité
and not
et de ne pas
be adoring the Lord,
adorer le Seigneur,
not be joyfully submitting to Him,
de ne pas être en train de se soumettre avec joie à Lui,
be excited about the music.
Mais juste d'être simplement excité par la musique
dance.
Et d'être enthousiaste parce qu'on aime
you
danser,
like sing.
On aime chanter.
But there's no
mais il n'y a
adoration.
Pas
nothing happening between you and God here. There's nothing being energized by the Spirit. So don't be confused by the outward form.
Donc ne soyez pas
instead,
confus,
Jesus
ne regardez
saying,
pas à l'extérieur.
We need to worship in spirit. Energized by the Holy Spirit so that we are adoring God in all that He is. And joyfully submitting to whatever He wants us to do. This is what it means to worship by the Spirit. What does it mean to worship in truth?
Qu'est-ce que signifie adorer en vérité?
You gotta worship in spirit and in truth.
Donc,
what does that mean?
En esprit et en vérité.
Well,
qu'est-ce que ça veut dire?
I heard one teacher say this, to worship in truth means to worship without hypocrisy.
Adorer sans hypocrisie.
In other words, to be authentic about who you are, to not pretend,
to
be true to yourself. And I suppose that that's an aspect of it. I'm not sure that that's what he intends here. But certainly, Jesus had much to say about pretenders.
And none of it was good.
So being real and being honest is part of worshiping in truth. And I think that maybe the teacher got this idea about hypocrisy from the very fact that when Jesus said to this woman, hey, call your husband, let's have a conversation together. She said, I don't have a husband.
J'ai pas de mari.
Well, Jesus gave her partial credit. Yeah, you're right, you don't have a husband, you've had five.
And
you're not married to the guy you're living with now. And so she wasn't being really authentic. She, you know, if she was real, she would say, Jesus, you know what?
Quelque part, mais
I don't have a husband. I'm living with a man, and I've got five different husbands in my past.
Mais elle n'a pas été honnête au point de dire, voilà, j'ai eu cinq maris auparavant.
The teacher thought we thought that, but I think to worship in truth means more than that.
Le jour où je l'ai entendu, mais je pense que ça veut dire plus.
I think it means to worship with our minds engaged.
Adorer
in understanding
en engageant
and delightfully pondering the revelation of who God is in the Bible.
Donc c'est vraiment engager
there's an intellectual component to it.
There's
an understanding. We're called to love God with all of our minds. And so to worship Him in truth is to say, God, how have you revealed yourself in the Scriptures? I want to know what is true about you. And so I look into the Scriptures and I study them and I meditate on them. And I ask for your Holy Spirit to give me illumination and understanding about what the text means. And so I'm worshiping the true God. Jesus said to the woman, you're worshiping what you don't know. You're worshiping something that isn't there. God is more than what you think
he is.
And to study the Scriptures with understanding and to ponder them and to delight in them is part of what it means to worship in truth. Sometimes we think that how do I say this? A new, fresh understanding of who God is in His Word stirs our affections and our emotions.
Wow!
God, you are so holy! And it takes our breath away. Sometimes we chase after the emotions.
Parfois, on recherche les émotions.
Sometimes,
parfois,
we chase after the buzz.
On est à la recherche du buzz.
Rather than pursuing truth.
Plutôt que d'être à la recherche de la vérité. Plutôt que d'être à la recherche
God,
de Dieu.
We're after the buzz.
On est à la recherche de ces émotions. On est à la recherche du buzz.
That's one of the reasons why that song, when the music fades.
And
it's all been stripped away. You know that song? That was written because the pastor of the church had realized that it had become about enjoying the show and the buzz. And he wanted to get rid of all of that for a time so that we would worship with our understanding. And that understanding would cause us to delight in who God is.
On va prendre plaisir en Dieu pour qui il est.
This is one of the reasons why the arts are good and dangerous when it comes to worship.
Quand il est question de
d'adoration. The arts have the ability to inspire us. They have the ability to help us understand things. But if we're not careful,
si on fait pas attention,
it can be about going and looking at the pretty pictures rather than encountering God.
On peut être là et simplement regarder les belles images plutôt que de
rencontrer
Dieu.
So to worship in truth gives us this idea that we have to be intellectually involved, loving God with our minds, to seek to understand what His Word is. Says about him and how he has revealed himself. This understanding, the core of it, is based on the gospel of Jesus. We are sinners. We are sinners. Saved by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone.
Pour la gloire
this
de
is
Dieu
the foundation
ça, c'est la fondation
of the gospel.
La fondation de l'évangile.
In Ephesians chapter 1:13, it talks
1,
about
13,
the word of truth being the gospel.
Il est dit,
1 Timothy 2:4, 2 Timothy 2:15. I'll let you look those up. It talks about the gospel being the word of truth, the gospel of our salvation that we study. And Jesus said in John chapter 8,
et dans Jean, chapitre 8,
John chapter 8, verse 31.
Verset 31.
If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples.
Si vous demeurez dans ma parole, vous êtes vraiment mes disciples. Vous connaîtrez la vérité, et la vérité vous rendra libre.
If you abide in the word,
si vous demeurez dans ma parole, vous êtes vraiment mes disciples. Vous connaîtrez la vérité et la vérité vous rendra libre. Donc, adorer Dieu en vérité et être à la recherche de qui est Dieu, d'investir notre intelligence,
The word Trevor used in worship. I think he was quoting Dave Vandenberg. Marinating.
J'ai bien aimé quand Trevor a cité Dave Vandenberg en disant
mariner the revelation of who God is in the
dans
Bible.
La parole
et
rechercher Dieu qui se révèle lui-même dans la parole.
I tried
parce que
to put
Dieu
both
veut
of these together in one very
vérité.
Long sentence. Good luck translating this, Caroline.
Il me souhaite bonne chance pour traduire ça parce qu'il a tout résumé dans une seule longue phrase.
When our minds are engaged in delightfully pondering and understanding by the work of the Spirit, the revelation of God in His Word, which leads us to adore Him and joyfully submit in obedience to the One who created us and engineered our salvation. He thought it up, He executed it.
Et qui est l'auteur de notre salut. Donc c'est vraiment ça que Dieu cherche. J'espère que c'était clair. On va le relire. L'adoration a lieu quand nos esprits sont investis dans la pondération et la compréhension avec joie de l'œuvre de l'Esprit de révélation de Dieu dans sa parole qui nous mène à l'adorer et à nous soumettre avec joie à lui dans l'obéissance. Lui qui nous a créés et qui est l'auteur de notre salut.
So, Jesus gives this big teaching.
Donc Jésus lui
and a woman says, well,
I
know.
Oui, je sais.
The Messiah is coming, it says so in the book of Deuteronomy. And when he does, he'll explain it to us.
Mais quand il viendra, il nous expliquera tout.
And Jesus said,
et là, Jésus lui dit,
that's me.
C'est moi. Je suis le Messie.
I am the Messiah.
Je suis le Messie.
I am the Messiah.
Je suis le Messie.
And if you studied all of God's word,
et si tu étudies toute la parole de Dieu,
all of God's word, not just the first five books,
pas juste les cinq premiers livres de la Bible, mais si tu étudies toute la parole de Dieu,
there are many things that you would know about me.
Il y a plein de choses que tu saurais à mon sujet. Tu saurais que
I was born in Bethlehem,
que je suis né à
Bethléem,
parce que c'est ce qu'ont dit les prophètes.
You would know that, yes,
que,
I am the Messiah,
oui,
but
je suis
I am
Messie,
going
mais,
to be a suffering Messiah.
Mais je vais souffrir. Je serai le
you
Messie
would know,
qui souffre. Tu que,
you would know that no one can pay a ransom for another man's soul, but God is going to provide.
Ne peut payer la pénalité pour un autre homme et que c'est moi qui vais le faire. C'est moi qui vais pourvoir et je vais mourir pour tes péchés.
And he is inviting her into the place of worship, into the place of adoration, into the place
of becoming
his daughter, his bride, one of the saved ones,
l'une de celles qui est sauvée, l'une de ceux qui sont sauvés.
Well.
Eh bien,
they teach you in seminary never to say in conclusion.
En séminaire, on nous a toujours appris à ne pas donner conclusion.
Because preachers have a bad habit of saying in conclusion.
Les personnes qui prêchent
when it seems like they just got
ont tendance à dire en conclusion.
To their introduction, because the conclusion lasts longer than
et que finalement c'était qu'une introduction parce que leur conclusion dure souvent plus longtemps que leur sermon.
But in conclusion,
en entier. Mais pour conclure.
The question I have to ask you
la question que j'ai à vous poser
is whether you are worshiping in spirit
et vous
and in truth.
Adorez-vous en esprit et en vérité?
Or whether for you worship is simply attendance
at a meeting. Ou est-ce que votre adoration se limite à à venir à une réunion? Êtes-vous né à nouveau de l'Esprit de Dieu? Aimez-vous sa parole? Aimez-vous voir de quelle manière elle révèle qui il est? Est-ce que vous l'adorez vraiment? Lui exprimez-vous votre amour pour Jésus? Est-ce que vous vous soumettez avec joie à ce qu'il vous dit? Est-ce que vous avez un cœur qui bat avec passion pour Jésus? Ou est-ce que pour vous, l'adoration, c'est simplement le fait de venir à une réunion? Parce que si c'est ça, franchement, je pense que sur la base des Écritures, je ne pense pas que vous soyez né de nouveau de l'Esprit Saint de Dieu. Et vous devez lui demander de se révéler, de révéler plus à son sujet, de vous révéler plus à son sujet. Et vous devez demander à Jésus de vous donner la vie. Prions. Père, merci. Je te remercie. Je te remercie parce qu'il y a de nombreuses personnes ici qui te connaissent.
Ils sont nombreux ici,
ceux qui prennent plaisir à t'adorer. Il y en a certains qui sont assis les bras croisés avec un sourire, et il y en a d'autres qui ne peuvent pas se contenir et qui sautent de joie. Merci pour les personnes qui aiment t'adorer. Merci pour ceux qui aiment étudier ta parole, qui prennent plaisir à étudier la vérité de ta parole. Merci pour eux. Emmène-nous plus loin, emmène-nous plus profondément en tant que
Église.
Enseigne-nous à t'adorer
de manière individuelle,
peu importe où nous sommes, mais aussi quand nous sommes tous ensemble entre chrétiens. Apprends-nous à t'adorer.
Lord, for those that are
Seigneur,
here
pour
that don't
ceux
know
qui sont
you.
Ici et qui ne te connaissent pas,
Lord, I pray that you would
Seigneur, je prie
yourself
que tu te révèles
as the Savior.
Comme leur sauveur.
That, like the woman at the well,
que comme
they
la Samaritaine
would understand that
qu'ils comprennent
sinners.
Qu'ils sont pécheurs.
And that they would understand that you have come to
qu'ils comprennent que tu es venu
their savior,
pour être leur sauveur,
to save them from their sins,
pour les sauver de leurs péchés,
to heal them from their past
pour les guérir
to
de leurs blessures passées,
to connect them
pour les connecter
with God,
à Dieu,
that they might have
pour qu'ils puissent avoir
rivers of living water flowing from within them, welling
d'eau
up
de vie
to eternal life.
Qui coulent en eux et qui leur donnent la vie éternelle. Dans le nom de Jésus.
Amen.
Amen.